Good evening. Welcome to Congressman Capuano's telephone community meeting. My name is Allison, and I'll be moderating tonight's discussion. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. If you would like to ask Congressman Capuano a question, just press star 3 to begin that process. At some point later this week, we will post an audio file of tonight's discussion on our website. To access that file or to sign up for Congressman Capuano's electronic newsletter, please visit our website at www.house.gov/Capuano. If you do have a question tonight for Congressman Capuano, please press star 3 to begin that process. And with that, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Congressman Capuano, who would like to make a few opening comments. Congressman?
Thanks, Allison. I want to welcome everybody to our phone call tonight. We'll be on for about an hour, and hopefully people will find it enjoyable and enlightening and engaging. The idea is to simply talk about whatever's on your mind, but as by way of introduction, and while we allow people some time to dial in with some of the first questions, I assume everybody knows that we have done healthcare and that we are in the process of trying to get that worked in. We are in the middle right now in D.C. of two major items. First is financial regulation. That bill was passed in the House in December. We are waiting for the Senate to finish action. They've been working on it now for a couple of weeks. At the moment, I feel actually pretty good about, I feel very good about what the House did, and I feel pretty good about what the Senate is doing. Some of the things I actually think have been an improvement on our proposal. Some of the things are a little weaker, and I'm looking forward to the Senate finishing the proposal and us being able to get to a conference committee so we can work out the differences between the bill and get something to the President as soon as possible. We're also working on some campaign finance reform issues. We hoped to have one of those bills mocked up this week, but it's taking a little longer to work out the kinks than we had hoped. That bill is in reaction to the Supreme Court decision that basically said that corporations, for the purposes of elections, corporations are the same as individuals, and they are allowed to contribute an unlimited amount of money from their general fund, not directly to candidates, but to advocacy groups or on their own behalf. So you could see ads for tunes of billions of dollars worth of ads from Exxon Corporation saying so-and-so candidate or such-and-such an issue is good, bad, or indifferent. Or they could contribute that money to another entity, the Group for Better Government or the Chamber of Commerce or whoever they might want to, and that group could run those ads. And what we're trying to do is we can't stop that. The court has said they had the legal right to do it under the First Amendment, but we are trying to provide certain disclosure requirements so that voters would know who was paying for certain ads. They wouldn't be able to hide behind these fake groups that they make up, and therefore not allowing people to see who's being involved in the election. And there is another provision that I've been deeply involved in, which would be to empower the shareholders of a given corporation to be the ones to make the decision on whether to spend money or not. Those two bills are getting close to being acted on in the House, but they're not quite there yet, and I'm deeply involved with both of them. Other than that, we obviously have some budget issues this year. We're going to have a bill soon that hopefully will extend unemployment again and maybe do some other things. There will probably be some tax extenders in there, most of which I probably won't like, but as part of a bigger bill, we'll have to see what else is in the bill before I make a decision on whether I vote yes or no. Theoretically, there's been talk about getting another supplemental to support the wars in Iraq. And again, without having seen the bill, I can't make a final decision, but I have voted against all of those supplementals up until this point in time, and I suspect I would do the same again. But those are the issues we're working on. Obviously, we have a deficit problem. We still have an economic problem. We are still working on, hopefully, a big bill relative to adding jobs to the economy. That, to me, is very important. If I had to pick a top item, if I thought we should get done, it would be it. It would be the creation of additional jobs in this country. We are working on that with the President to hopefully get something done before the summer. I actually think it's already later than it should be, but, again, that's the way Congress works, and if we can get it, it'll be worth the wait. But those are the issues we're working on, and I'm looking forward to your questions tonight on any issue you might want to talk about, and I'll do my best to answer them. And if I can't, I'll tell you, and we'll give you a number to call to get an answer later on. I don't pretend that I know everything, but most of the major topics, obviously, I'm up on, and I'm happy to have that discussion. So, Allison, if we have people on the line, I'd like to get to questions.
We do have some callers on the line, and if you're just joining us tonight and you have a question for Congressman Capuano, please press star 3 to begin that process. And our first question comes from Rich in Charlestown who has a question about immigration. Rich, when you're ready, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Yep, ready.
Hey, Rich.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah, I've already stated my question. My question is, are you in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens?
I'm in favor of allowing them a pathway to citizenship because I think it is unrealistic to think that this country will find and deport and process 12 million people out of the country. I'm willing to understand that, accept the reality of the situation and to move forward, but I would not be in favor of that if it was a standalone provision. I have voted in order to strengthen our borders in the past because I think all of this has to be done at one time. If you do one thing, it will not solve our problem. This country is built on the backs of immigrants. I'm the product of Irish immigrants and Italian immigrants. I'm very proud of my heritage at the same time. And honestly, I don't know whether they came here legally or not. I know on my Irish side, we don't even know where they came from. Every record we've found simply says they were born in Ireland, won't even tell us where. So that certainly raises questions in my mind. And plus, immigration laws were different when they came over. They weren't as tight as they are now. Be that as it may, I mean, I just think it's an unrealistic expectation to think that this country is going to deport 12 million people. We can complain all we want, but it's just not going to happen. So my answer is let's find a way. Most of them are hardworking people. Let's get in. But I do not want to repeat that mistake again. We need to strengthen our borders, and we need to have a thoughtful immigration policy going forward. So call it whatever you want. If you want to call it amnesty or a path to citizenship or anything else, so be it. But I just think that anybody who really thinks we're going to be successful in deporting 12 million people, I think is deluding themselves and focusing on something that in a perfect world might be the perfect answer, but we don't live in the perfect world. We live in the real world. And in the real world, these people are here working already and they're participating in the society. And my answer is let's get over it, but let's also make sure that we don't make the same mistake again. That would be a disaster.
Eli from Brighton is joining us now with a question about gay marriage. Eli, when you're ready.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Eli. How are you?
Hi, how are you? How do you define a marriage and your take on family issues?
Well, I mean, if you're asking me do I believe in equal marriage, the answer is yes, I do. I think that it's hard enough to find love in this life, and if someone can find a partner they want to share their life with, that's a private personal contract between those two individuals, and all the state does, if you want the truth, is to define what happens in a divorce. That's really when the state comes in. I've been married for 36 years almost, and the state has had nothing to do with my relationship with my wife except to say that if we decide to split up, how we would divide our assets, and I guess my children are now adults, but if they were younger, what visitation rights we would have. Other than that, the state has nothing to do with my marriage. So for me, I do believe in equal marriage. I think it's a good thing. I think it's proven so in Massachusetts. Nothing bad has happened since Massachusetts has allowed equal marriage I think that being the case, then individual rights win out. There's no societal reason whatsoever that people should be interested or concerned what other willing adults do as long as they're not interfering with anybody else. And certainly my marriage doesn't interfere with anybody else. So therefore, if my marriage is no one else's business, then I would certainly think that yours or anybody else's is none of mine.
If you're just joining us this evening and you have a question for Congressman Capuano, please press *3 to begin that process. And at this point in our telephone community meeting, we'd like to ask our participants a quick question. And that question is, do you find the telephone community meeting an informative experience? Please press 1 if the answer is yes, and 2 if the answer is no. And we will now be joined by Mike from Boston, who has a question about Congressman Capuano's shareholder protection bill. Mike, your question?
My question is, I don't see it being even fair. I don't see it passing because basically it's exactly opposite of what the president, proposed to do with unions from his campaign. So I can't see the president signing that because the unions, union membership doesn't have the rights that you want to give the shareholders, and not the corporations are looked at too nicely right now. So I don't think it's a good place to be anywhere near this issue. So I just,
no,
I run away. It's like a third rail to me, but the congressman can do what he wants. I just think it's crazy. You know?
No, I appreciate it, Mike. I've never in my life run away from a fight. When I think something needs to be fixed, I head towards it. And on this particular issue, I don't think the president disagrees at all. It really is not related to unions. Unions are already allowed to participate in campaigns, as are corporations. Corporations can do it through their PACs, and there's nothing that would change that. Any member of a corporation can donate to the General Electric PAC, and you can donate up to, I forget the exact numbers, I think 5,000, maybe actually more. I don't remember exactly the limits, but they're very high limits. And they do so now. Corporations participate that way. And corporations can also participate through the Chamber of Commerce and other entities. But it's the unlimited amount of money that I'm interested in. And if a corporation is sitting, Exxon Corporation made $80 billion last year. The question is, who owns that money? Is it the president of Exxon or is it the shareholders of Exxon? And I would argue that it's the shareholders of Exxon. And just like anything else, I don't think, Mike, you would want me deciding how to spend your money. I simply say that you should decide how to spend your money, and that's what the shareholder empowerment is all about. As far as unions go, union members can say that they don't want to participate in the political aspects of any union activity. So that those rights are already there. A shareholder cannot do that. There's no way you could distinguish the dividend portions that you get in, that you receive. In this case, and that's really what it is. It's a matter of dividends that you would receive that would be, say, what, I only want to take 20% of my dividends and keep 80%? A union member can do that, and many do. So it's a significantly different situation. And really, this decision really just affects the union, just affects corporations in the first place. So we're simply trying to address that that court decision, which will change the landscape dramatically. It will bring in tons of money. You will not have a clue who's spending these ads to say good things or bad things about any candidate or any issue that you might care about, Mike. So I don't think it's a third rail, but even if it is a third rail, I see it as a wrong decision by the court, something that will dramatically impact the average voter, and I think that we have to make it clear.
Ellen from Brighton is joining us now with a healthcare question related to nursing. Ellen, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Hi, Congressman.
Hi, Ellen.
Thank you for
speaking
this afternoon. Pretty well, thanks. I'm a registered nurse. I work at St. Elizabeth's, in fact. And I have a question about House Bill 2381, which has to do with safe patient handling. Mm-hmm. Nurses would like to see equipment in place in hospitals to help us lift patients. According to OSHA guidelines, a woman shouldn't lift more than 45 pounds and a man more than 50. I have patients who weigh 300 and 400 pounds.
Right.
I mean, we lift like teamsters. And we're an aging population. The average nurse in the U.S. is about 49. We would like to see equipment put in hospitals to help us with that. The American Hospital Association, the Mass Hospital Association, have spent millions of dollars fighting this.
I can only tell you that I haven't heard about this issue until you called, and it certainly makes sense. I'm not familiar with the specific bill. I will become familiar with it in the next few days. The concept is right. I don't know if they have machines now that are currently available. I assume they do, but I don't know that or what they cost. But the concept sounds right to me. But I will tell you that if anybody's spending money for or against it up until this very moment, I have not heard it. So if they're spending it, they're not spending it in my direction, one way or the other. And I'm more than happy to look at the issue. It certainly raises some, I think, common sense points.
Matthew from Boston is joining us now with a question about the economy. Matthew, your question?
Yeah, the job economy, Michael Capuano, it's even get better or worse because I have somebody still working for a job and hasn't got a job yet. And I've contacted your office regarding that, and I just was curious if you know a job coming and get better or worse.
Don't know, Matthew. We're trying. The economy has gotten better. I mean, we're losing fewer jobs than we used to. Now, that's an optimistic way to look at it, obviously, but if you're losing 200,000 jobs and you go to losing 20,000, that's a step in the right direction. We have been doing that now since President Obama took office. But the economy still needs a boost, in my opinion. I have been a supporter from day one of a WPA type of a situation. I think we should be doing something along those lines. I think we should have done it last year, and I'd like to do it now. I think it's clearly measurable. There are a lot of people who would take advantage of it. It worked during the Depression, and I think it could work again. But thus far, I'm still in the minority. So I can only tell you that I think the federal government should be involved in helping to create more jobs. At the same time, right now we haven't, and I can only tell you that I'll keep pushing, and I'm hoping we'll be able to have some success in the next couple of months, but I don't know that. As far as the economy as a whole, if I knew what that was going to do, I guess I'd be the smartest guy in the country. I think it's doing a little bit better from the signs that I see and the comments I hear from people. They feel a little bit better about it. At least they feel like it's stabilized. It's not getting worse and maybe getting a little bit better. But I'm going to have to leave that to the economists and experts that know these things better than I do. And even then, half of them will be wrong.
If you're just joining us and you have a question for Congressman Capuano, please press *3 to begin that process. Bruce from Alston is joining us with a healthcare-related question. Bruce, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Yeah, I was wondering about, like, my neighbor. She's really old. She's like 80-something, but she had to go into the hospital and then into the nursing home, and because she didn't have MassHealth. She has Medicare, but not MassHealth, and now she's, like, stuck in a nursing home, and she, you know, because of the MassHealth thing, and but she had MassHealth, which I tried to tell a long time ago. She could have still stayed home and had services, but she has a lawyer now taking care of her stuff, you know. I don't know how that's going, because the lawyer don't call or nothing. So.
I can only tell you, Bruce, that Medicare, I mean, again, certainly I wouldn't know with a specific situation, but Medicare oftentimes helps people stay at home as well, depending on the situation. I'd be happy to review this woman's particular case. Give my office a call tomorrow, and we'll see if we can help at all. But without knowing the details, I can't answer it. But I will tell you that Medicare and Medicaid oftentimes provide opportunities for people to stay at home. It is usually cheaper if people have that option. But sometimes you can't deal with the medical problems at home. But anyway, I'd be pleased to have my office check in and see what if we can help. And if you want to give us a call tomorrow, it's 617-621-6208.
Joan from East Boston is joining us with a question about job outsourcing. Joan, your question for the congressman?
Mr. Capuano.
Hi, Joan.
All our manufacturing jobs and all our telephone jobs seem to be outsourced. Can we restrict that from going on?
Probably. But those jobs have been outsourced over the last 20 years or so, for the most part. The likelihood of them coming back is probably not too high, but I have not voted for a trade bill in a long time. I voted only for two trade bills, one with Australia and one with Vietnam. I voted against trade with at least the free trade options with China and many other countries for that very reason. I think that the trade deals we have made ever since NAFTA, which happened before I got into Congress, but ever since that time, I think the trade deals we have made have been pretty much to the advantage of the other countries and to the disadvantage of this country, manufacturing being the top item on the agenda. We have given away, and they haven't taken them. We've given away millions of jobs, and I think it's a national shame. I can only tell you that I have not voted for those trade deals. I will not be voting for those trade deals. And I hope that the rest of the country can wake up. It's kind of amazing to me that the so-called self-anointed conservatives who claim America first, they're the first ones to vote for these trade deals and ship our jobs overseas. And I don't understand how they can get away with that hypocrisy. But nonetheless, many of them have, and I can only tell you that I have not done that and I will not be doing that.
Lorena from Brighton is joining us now with a question about the recently passed health care reform package. Lorena, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm a single parent of three kids, and I have, like, the Commonwealth health care, and that doesn't offer dental. With the new thing, are we going to get dental?
That's going to take a little while. I mean, it's very expensive. We're trying. There are, most of us want it for a very simple reason. We think dental health ties in directly with general health in many ways. But it's going to take a while to be able to get that. It's an expensive option, and I'm not going to lie. I think the goal is to get there, but we're not going to be there for a little while yet.
Robert from Boston is joining us with a question about bank fees. Robert, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Hello, Mr. Capuano.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Okay. I think that with the banking industry at this point, that they've had in the last, you know, 2 years, they've had two major bailouts. And I think that it is reprehensible of them to continue to charge fees to customers who have checking accounts, savings accounts, certificates of deposit, and at the same time charge non-bank customers for the use of their ATMs. Now, as a sign of goodwill, and this is just my opinion, I would think that they should be able that to swallow that cost, you know, if not permanently, then at least until the, you know, the economy starts to get a little bit better. I just find that they're receiving and we're getting nothing back as the American people. Am I wrong?
I don't wrong, but I will tell you that it's all, as a consumer, it's up to you to move your money out of a bank that does that to you. I have. I will tell you that does not happen in the banks that I use. I go out of my way to make sure that all my money is in local banks, you know, because I know the people behind the telling cage. I know the people who run the banks. They're local people, they have to make a profit. I understand that. But for the most part, I don't feel at all like they treat me badly. I presume, I don't know where you live, but I presume that you have some local banks you can have options with. And I'm not knocking any big bank because they provide different services that I don't have options to. And if you want those services, you do have to pay for them. If you don't want them or you don't use them, which I don't want and I don't use them, I've chosen to move my money to banks that that meet my needs and I think treat me with more respect. And I would suggest that you look at the same options. I know it's not the greatest answer. The greatest answer is everybody should treat everybody fairly, but at the same time, that's a little unrealistic in a free market society when anybody can sell anything they want within reason for any price they want. And if we are willing to pay for that, then so be it. But if you're not willing to pay for it, I think you have an obligation to find options, and I can only tell you that I've done that, and I would hope that that other people feel like you do the same.
If you have a question tonight for Congressman Capuano, please press *3. Heather from Charlestown is joining us now with a question about the wind farm. Heather, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Hi, Congressman.
Hi, Heather.
My question, hi. Thank you for doing this, by the way. It's a terrific idea. In light of the problems with what's going on with the leak of the offshore drilling in off the coast, I'm similarly concerned about the wind farm going in Nantucket Sound, and obviously the potential problems would be different, but apart from all the ruination of the historic coast and the potential problems with wildlife and marine life and, you know, and the additional problems that opponents have raised, rather, I'm also concerned, given some of the problems in the Netherlands, about operating some of these windmills, the costs, the problems, the wear and tear, what happens if something goes wrong. Is there any way that the site can be changed at this stage? What options do people have who are local? Obviously we can't sue individually, but is this really a done deal? I'm really concerned that, you know, I have questions about Salazar, the energy secretary. What will happen if there's an administration that doesn't care, like the Bush administration, about making sure that these things are administered properly? What are our options?
Well, I can only tell you that this has been pending now for, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 years. I don't know exactly how long, and it's gone through every review it can go through. And everything that I have seen indicates that there are no environmental impacts of any negative nature, that there's no hazards to navigation, there's no hazards to air flights, and that, honestly, if we want power, no one wants power near them, period. I don't care what the source of the power is. Nobody wants a coal plant or an oil plant or a gas plant or even a water plant, a water generation plant, near their home or near their business. And I understand that. And if we're going to have power, if I'm going to turn the electricity on in my house, we do have to have power plants, and this is one alternative. I'm not aware that I have read about the cost of this, but at the same time, if they can't recapture the cost, then it becomes an economic reason not to do it. That's a different issue. But if they can generate power in a way that is no more dangerous or inconvenient as anything else, and probably a little less so, it's several miles, I think it is, off the coast. I don't know anybody who would want to live next to a wind farm, next to their home or in their neighborhood, with 100 and some odd turbines. So that we have to have them someplace. And from all the reviews I have seen about this particular location, and there is no perfect location, I guess the perfect location is always someplace else. But I have the same problems with LNG. I have the same problems with oil farms that I heat with oil in my home. I also have natural gas in the stove and other things. And anyone who lives near any of those facilities has some concerns. So I understand what you're saying, Heather, but I don't know any other way to generate the power that we all use. And if that's the case, somebody's have to come up with a solution as to how to do it. I mean, if it's always not in my backyard. First of all, I don't know whose backyard it would be in with a mile offshore. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Again, I'm not looking to hurt shipping or fishing or anything else, and every independent study I have read about or seen indicates that all those things are taken into account and it works fine. So, Heather, I understand what you're saying. Nobody, I would wish we could get power from solar energy that didn't require solar panels or whatever else. But until we find that golden source of energy, of alternative energy, we have to find ways to provide the power that we need in this, not just the state, but the whole country, and to do it in the most environmentally friendly way that we can, and in the least intrusive manner that we can. And at the moment, alternative energy seems to be one of the answers.
We have another question at this point for our participants, and that is, have you filled out your census form? Press 1 for yes. And 2 for no. And if you have not filled out your census form, someone from the Census Bureau should be calling you or coming by your home to continue the counting process. And if you have questions about that or to find out when a census worker might be in your area, you can call 866-851-2010. And to get more information about the census, you can go to www.2010.census.gov. We now have a question from Daryl from Roxbury who would like to talk about health care. Daryl, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Thank you so much for doing this. As a physician, I'm very much in favor of the health care reform bill, but I'm concerned still yet about frivolous malpractice suits and how can we get more medical students interested in primary care?
Well, the primary care issue has been a troubling issue all across the country. Everybody has a shortage of primary care docs. One of the things we have done in this bill is provide significant incentives relative to loan forgiveness and the like for people who pursue a career in primary care. Other than that, there are very few things we can do except to maybe encourage more people to go to medical school. As far as lawsuits go, I mean, that is one of the most hot-button issues I have ever seen that it is almost impossible to work out a compromise, and that's not just on partisan lines. It's across the board. I mean, people who get involved with this issue just are unbending. To me, I do believe you have to allow certain lawsuits like you do in every other aspect of life because no matter how hard you try, there are some people in any field, the medical field is no different, that abuse their abilities or their responsibilities and their authority. And the only way to keep the whole industry honest to some degree, no different than anything else, I'm not singling out healthcare at all, is to the threat of a lawsuit for wrongdoing. Do I think there are frivolous suits? Of course I do. And I think that there are ways, if anybody ever wanted to sit down and find a way to compromise on this, to find ways to maybe raise the standards a little bit more and to provide alternative dispute resolution. And there are other things that have been done across the country that tend to work that would address that. It wouldn't cut out all lawsuits, which seems to be the only solution ever offered. It's either all or none. And I think the answer, like many answers, lies somewhere in between. And until we get the most ardent proponents of both sides to sit down and talk, we're not going to be able to do it. And I will tell you that given the choices I have had in the 12 years I've been in Congress on this issue, which is to simply say no punitive damages ever, no lawyers can ever get paid, which, of course, means you'll have no lawsuits whatsoever, that's not an answer either. So I do think that there are alternatives, but until – both sides, and that means the AMA on one side and the Talk Clears on the other, sit down and try to come up with a reasonable way to do it. And I'm a lawyer, so I'm certain there's some middle ground we could reach to get rid of the frivolous suits. They don't help anybody, but also to maintain the discipline that a potential lawsuit brings, I think, is good not just for the healthcare industry but for all industries.
Anne from Boston is joining us now, and she would like to talk about President Obama. Anne, your question for the congressman?
Hello?
Anne, are you
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
Mike? Oh, I'm good. Thank you. I wanted to know how you rate President Obama's performance, and the reason I'm asking is I'm a little concerned with Sarah Palin being out there. It seems to me she's like a rebel rouser, bomb tosser type person, and I see some people out in the Midwest that she's been in contact with actually want to sort of take the government into their own, you know, hands, and I'm just wondering, you know, what your opinion is on President Obama's performance.
Well, the easier question is Sarah Palin. I mean, look, I respect the fact that she's in the arena and she speaks her mind, but I find very few things I agree with her on, and I don't think she'll ever be the president. Obviously, there's always going to be some people that agree with anybody, and she likes those extreme positions, and that's fine, but I'm not terribly worried about her representing the country. As far as President Obama goes, I think he's done okay. I mean, I could disagree with him on many issues. I don't like the decisions he's made on the Iraq War. I think we should have been out earlier. I'm not gung-ho about this escalation in Afghanistan. I don't think it's going to work in the long run. There are many things I could disagree with him on, but overall, I think he's done a pretty good job. We're now being able to debate, we also pass, but the fact that we even have an honest, upfront debate on health care is a great thing. I think it's finally good that we can debate the big issues of the day. We can have an honest debate, even on Iraq. Even if I disagree with the solution, at least I feel that we're talking about the important issues of the day. We're talking about education. We're talking about how to move this country forward. I think those are all good things. So overall, I think the president has done a pretty good job. It'd be hard to please me. I guess it'd be hard to please anybody with a straight A grade, but I think he's done pretty well. My hope is that after this election season, if the American people go to the polls and generally support his agenda, that doesn't mean they're going to support every issue, nor should they, but generally support his agenda and support people that have supported him, that's a great way for us to continue to move forward. If the country goes to the polls and elects people that run on the agenda of, you know, turning back everything that has been done, well, that'll be the country's decision. But in my mind, I think he's done a pretty reasonable job.
If you have a question tonight for Congressman Capuano, please press *3. Louise from Boston is joining us now with a question about the stimulus package. Louise, your question?
Hi. My name is Lois, and I'm calling to find out if there's any chance that they would do another stimulus package whereby the taxpayers get money.
Probably not. I'm sure you heard that I think that the stimulus was necessary, and it doesn't mean it was perfect. I could criticize it all day long, but I think it was absolutely necessary to save tens of thousands of jobs in this state and across the country, millions of jobs across the country, and to get money into the hands of private entities to hire more people and to save jobs. A saved job is just as important as a created job, particularly if it's your job that's saved. But I think we did a good job governmentally. We did a terrible job politically. The people that don't like the stimulus won the PR war. And that being the case, between number one, there was a fair number of them to begin with who didn't like the idea. They would have rather have the country just wallow in its own difficulties. But number two, they've also scared or convinced, either way, depending on how you want to look at it, enough people. I do not think that there are the votes in the House or the Senate right now for an additional stimulus bill. The right stimulus bill, a job creation package, I would vote for tomorrow. I just think that it would be on the minority view. I think the majority view is don't do another one, and I happen to think it's a mistake. And I'm not going to pretend that the stimulus bill was a perfect bill. It was far from it. But I always believe that when you're in a mess, you do something. Doing nothing is usually not a reasonable option in my mind.
Chris from Alston is joining us now with a question about retirement benefits. Chris, your question?
Yes, I'm a married gay federal employee. We've been together, for my partner and I, for 37 years. I'm retiring in 4 years, and I'm wondering if there's any hope that by that time my partner would be able to get the same benefits that my coworkers get. I've put the same amount of money into the system, and it would really help a lot. Do you think there's any chance that federal employees will be treated equally by that point in 4 years?
I don't know. I hope so, but I right now the issue is still a hot-button issue in most of the country. And I would hope so. Again, as I don't know if you heard earlier, we talked about equal marriage previously, and I'm a supporter, and I think anybody who loves each other, that's between them and their partner. So I certainly agree with the concept, but I can't, you know, tell you directly that I believe that the Congress is ready to adopt it. I don't know what the president can do on his own. I'm not sure the president could take action on this issue by himself without congressional approval. If he can, I hope he does. If he cannot, which I think he cannot, but I can't answer off the top of my head, if he needs congressional approval, I think it's going to be hard to get. I mean, we're trying already to undo some crazy actions that Washington did now, the Domer and a couple of other things, and you know, don't ask, don't tell, and I think things that have hurt this country. And if we can't undo the bad things that we have done, it's awfully hard to believe that we can do another good thing. So I hope we can, but I can't. I don't want to give you false hope. I would not suggest that we really have the ability to get those enough votes at this point in time.
Christian from Boston is joining us now with a question related to immigration. Christian, your question?
Hey, thank you, Congressman. I come from New Mexico. I grew up in New Mexico, so I grew up there for many years before moving to Boston. And my concern
is... The weather's better there.
Obviously, there's... Huh?
The weather is better there.
I just think that, you know, I think that illegal aliens come here because there's a market for them. And so I'm wondering if there's anything in Congress or any discussion about, you know, going after American businesses who employ them. I think that's the way to...
We have those laws on the books. They've been on the books for a long time, and they have been unenforced for a long time. The business community remains silent, but they go absolutely apoplectic when you go after them on it. And I believe that you're 100% right. And I actually like the way you even phrase it. Most of these people are coming here for economic reasons. I know that some people think that all the terrorists are. The truth is, I believe that a terrorist can get into this country if they really want to, almost no matter how tight you make the borders, because that's what they're here for. It's the average person just looking to improve their lives that are the vast, 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 99% of these people, that's what they are. And I agree with you. If we take away the economic incentive, the ability to have a job, that's exactly what will happen. At the same time, I think it's got to be a dual edge. If that's what we did tomorrow and we chased 12 million people home, first of all, we'd have a whole lot of unemployed people here, and second of all, they wouldn't be necessarily unemployed. They go into the underground economy, and we all know it. They're the people, for the most part, who are cutting the grass and painting houses and doing the other cash economy things that this country does. So that many of them are already off the rolls. They're already in the underground economy. And for me, I'd rather say to everybody in this country, look, let's be above board. Let's punish the people who do wrong. And that includes not just, as I'm glad you raised it, Christian, not just the people that have come here illegally, but also the employers that allow it to happen. But let's have a sensible policy simultaneously. I mean, the 12 million people are here. Again, they're already here. They're already working. And those who aren't working, that's fine, too. But we're not going to bring 12 million people home, so let's get real. At the same time, I do believe that we need to strengthen our borders, not just on the South, the North as well. There was an article in one of the papers, I believe it was today, on some border issues in Canada and Vermont. And I think that people need to remember that we have two major borders. The border with Canada is, first of all, more porous, and second of all, longer. It's easier to cross the Canadian border than it is the Mexican border. You don't even have a river between you in most of it. So that being the case, yes, I do think that employers should be held responsible, but at the same time, they already have been, and we have not enforced those laws. And to simply think that by turning the pressure up and enforcing all those laws tomorrow, that's going to change much, I don't think it will.
We're now joined by Miladies from Boston with a question about health insurance. Your question for Congressman Capuano?
Yes. Hi, Mr. Capano. Hi. My name is Milady Encarnacion, and I'm very concerned about insurance company, car insurance. I think they are I think that they are abusing people, and I don't know if we can do something. You have some idea about those things?
What's going on with the auto insurance stuff?
I think that they every year they raising almost all companies are the same. And I don't know if there is something like we can do for try to help the company.
Mostly, almost all the auto insurance regulations are done at the state level, and they have to get approval to increase their rates. So the state has to say yes or no, and they have a long, drawn-out process to make that determination. I will tell you that other than the cost, which, of course, everything costs a lot, and auto insurance is no different, other than the cost, I'm not aware that they're abusing people in any real sense of the word. And, again, if they are, it's a state issue. And I will tell you, if you have a specific problem with an insurance company or anybody else, you're more than welcome to call my office, and if we can help with a specific problem, we're happy to do that as well, and to get you involved with the appropriate authorities at the state level, and that's our job, and happy to do it.
We have one last question for our participants this evening, and that is, do you support or oppose the Arizona law directing law enforcement to verify citizenship status when making routine stops? Press 1 if the answer is yes, and 2 if the answer is no. Marissa from Boston is joining us now with a question about COBRA benefits. Marissa, your question?
Hi, good evening, Congressman.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Next month, we lose our COBRA because my husband will be unemployed now 18 months. I have not heard anything, nor can I find out anything, if there is such a thing as extension of COBRA benefits.
The answer is
because without it, we will drown.
No, I understand. We've actually extended it several times. And, again, without knowing the specifics, there are many ways to extend it. And we're trying to do it again in Congress, hopefully, I think this week. I'm not exactly sure when. Because there are a lot of people in your situation that, many people who are unemployed say that the worst situation is losing health insurance. They can make ends meet other ways, but health insurance kills them. If you give my office a call tomorrow, maybe we can walk you through something and get you a little bit more specific answer, because the individual can do matter. I know and I fully understand how important that is to your family. So please feel free to call my office tomorrow, 617-621-6208, and we'll see if we can get some more specific answers for you.
Faith from Brighton is joining us now with a question about the economy. Faith, your question for the congressman?
Hello?
Faith, are you with us?
No, she must have known. She must
have been. Okay. Anna from Brighton is joining us now with a question about energy independence. Anna, your question for Congressman Capuano?
Yes, hello. I was. My question was, I think, partially answered while I was asking it, but I was saying, given what happened in the Gulf, do you support offshore drilling? And if not, how would you suggest this country deals with its energy dependence?
I've never been a big supporter of offshore drilling. I've always believed that we need to do alternative energy, and it's kind of funny, but too many people who agree with me tend to focus on the environmental aspects of it. And don't get me wrong, I agree with them. But for me, it's more about the independence. I hate the concept of this country sending trillions of dollars overseas to buy oil and gas, especially from the very people that then take that money and turn around and support people who are trying to kill us. It's insane. So for me, energy independence is a lot more important aspect and something that people can understand. I'm all for the environmental improvements. I think they're important, but it's the independence that's critical to me. And offshore drilling, like any drilling, we only own, I'm not sure the exact percentage, something like 2% of the world's oil. Most of it is elsewhere, and we're going to have to continue to buy it. We need to get off of oil and gas, and we need to find alternative energy sources that this country can provide, can then go back to standing on its own two feet for our own energy needs. Absent that, we are going to be at the mercy of the rest of the world forever. Stop and think about how much money this country has sent to foreign governments over the last 50 years for the very simple reason of buying energy. It has been the largest single transfer of wealth from one country to another in the history of mankind, and I don't think it has made us stronger. I think it has made us weaker, and the faster we can get off of that, I think the better off this country will be.
Shirley from Boston is joining us now with a question about the president's policies relating to charter schools. Shirley, your question for the congressman?
Hi, Congressman Mike. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm concerned about the direction that the government is taking, really at all levels, to promote charter proliferation, and I think it's going to lead to privatization and commercialization of public education. I'm wondering how you feel about that and what you think we might do if you don't.
Well, very simply, Mike, I'm a former mayor. I've been concerned with the way Massachusetts in particular has gone into the charter school business. The way we have done it, we have encouraged charter schools to make a profit. They all make a profit. And that's why they locate in the cities that they do, because of the way the reimbursement rates work. And number one. Number two is that they are exempted from having to deal with all students. They do not have to accept every child that walks through a door. So there is an unlevel playing field right from the get-go. I would argue very clearly that I have no problem with the concept of alternative educational endeavors as long as the playing field is equal. If they had to educate every child equally, if they were held to the same special needs requirements, almost none of these charter schools take any of the special needs kids. And they, none of them, to my knowledge, take any of the kids who are the most special needs. And that's just one example. They don't take special need. They don't take vocational ed. They don't take bilingual kids. And I think that some of them do a good job, just like anybody else. And I do not want public education to end up being simply the repository for all the students that either have parents that don't care about education or that, you know, have other problems that charter schools don't want to deal with. So I think that the way they have been implemented has been a real problem in Massachusetts, and I don't think that they're the long-term answer. I think that every child who walks through the schoolhouse door should be given the opportunity to be the best that they can be in education, and the system we are slowly building is one that will be a two-tiered system, and I don't think that will be good for the country.
Estella is joining us now with a question about banking reform. Estella, your question for the congressman?
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. A pressing concern for me, and I believe many others similarly situated, is the existence of student loan debt in this great recession we're all undergoing. I graduated law school in May of 2008, just before the market collapsed and the world as we know it fell apart, and I have not been able to get employment, but my student loan debts are just marching forward. There's no abatement, there's no forgiveness, there's no extension of time. My forbearance period has come to an end, and I'm wondering if in all of the discussion about bank reforms, if anybody's even considering or contemplating the need for some kind of relief for students who have undertaken a huge burden with the expectation of being able to go forward into the job market, which now does not exist. What, if anything, can be done or will be done about that?
Well, Estella, we did a major student loan change as part of the health care bill, believe it or not. It was all part of that thing at the end where we had to go to a reconciliation process, and we had to do it that way. But that won't help you probably, because I have a son who graduated law school, sounds like about a year or so before you, and he has significant loans himself. So I'm very familiar with the situation. And it is a result of the fact that this country decided years ago that my bet is almost all your loans are to private companies. And the private companies were allowed to do pretty much whatever they wanted to do, and that's why their rates are significantly higher, their forbearance is significantly lower, and there are very few ways to get out of it, which is, of course, crazy. We have changed that. We're probably going to get rid of, over the next couple of years, if not sooner, almost all, if not all, of the private companies are in it, and go back to the way it used to be, that the government was the person who made the loan, so the rates will be lower, the terms will be better. But for those people like yourself who already have those loans, it's awfully hard to enter in. You know, if you're at the law school, you know there's a private contract between you and the company. And unfortunately, you might end up being stuck with those. And I'm sorry to tell you that it was a terrible situation to begin with. It was a result of too many people in this country thinking that government can do no right and private companies can do no wrong. And I think that the college loan situation is living proof that that's just not always true. So I can tell you that there's a few things we can do, and if you want to give the office a call, we can get through the details. But overall, people like yourself who already have those loans are probably going to be not get much help at all because, again, it is a private contract. But going forward, hopefully we will not be making the same mistakes they made for the last 20 years. I think the private market is a great place for many things, but there are certain things that I think government can and does do better, and student loans are one of them, and I'm living proof of it. High student loans, when it was my turn, were all government loans, and they were, again, the rates were much better, the terms were much better, and we were able to repay them. So I can only tell you that I wish you the best of luck. I hope you'll be able to do it, and my hope is that the improvements we've made will make it better for the next generation.
Helen from Boston is joining us now with a question about loan modification. Helen, your question?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes, I got a question. I'm in the process of getting a modification, and this will be my third time sending papers in. But in the meantime, my husband had passed away a little bit 4 years in February. He was a veteran. You think I'm entitled for his benefits from the VA as a wife?
It depends on what service he had and what classification he had. There are some things that that widows can get. Depends on what it was. And again, for personal interest things like this, I really think you're best off calling the office, and we'll walk you through it, get a little bit more detail about your specific situation, and if we can help, we're happy to do it. But I can only tell you that the answer is sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no. But if you give the office a call tomorrow, we can begin the process of walking you through it, and we one step at a time. 617-621-6208.
And unfortunately, that's all we have time for this evening. We apologize if we were not able to get to your question, but if you stay on the line at the end of this telephone community meeting, you will have an opportunity to leave a voicemail for Congressman Capuano. And at some point later this week, we will be posting an audio file of this meeting on our website, which can be found at www.house.gov/Capuano, and you'll also be able to sign up for our electronic newsletter there as well. And with that, I know Congressman Capuano has a few closing comments.
Well, thanks, Allison. Again, I want to thank everybody who listened in tonight. I hope you found it enlightening and hopefully and a little bit entertaining. At least we covered pretty much every subject I can think of. And I know that not everybody here is going to agree with everything I said, but at least I hope you understand how I think and what I think about these important issues. And for those people who have specific concerns, I do encourage you to call my office. And again, I just want to thank everybody for participating and for listening and for actually being a part of this wonderful society. So thank you all very much, and good night.